on to item 613.
Proclaim June 17, 2015 to be Small Community Kiosk Day in Portland.
Commissioner Novick.
Mayor, actually, 613 and 614 are kind of a, in a way, kind of a package.
Okay.
Since it's now 10:30.
Okay, let's read. You want us to read both?
Yes. Okay. Greg Raceman from PBOT is going to address both of them.
Okay, go ahead and read the second item then, Carl.
614, modify conditions under which the city traffic engineer may issue revocable permits for use of dedicated street areas for an intersection repair project.
And Greg, before you begin, I'd like to note that the reason we bring 614 before the council today in particular is that, in the immortal words of Martha and the Vandellas, summer is here and the time is right for painting in the street.
Yes.
You may proceed.
Close enough.
Okay, so thank you so much for time today. We're here today to really build upon Portland's tradition of building community in the public realm. You know, Portland's got a long history beginning with a really transformational movement that resulted in obviously a big change on the waterfront. You know, this is, I think, a really emblematic photo of people wanting to reach the river. And when we let them do it, just something beautiful happened, and it really started to change the conversation that's happening for us as a community. You know, building a park is really great, but you know, we have such a bigger canvas when we look at our streets as far as a place where we can bring people together and places to meet each other. We have about 4,000 miles of road, about a quarter of the landmass of the city. It's a huge inventory, about $8 billion in assets. And so the more that we can use our talents to get as much out of that as possible, the stronger we'll be. So we have also a tradition of reclaiming space with paint. This is a slide about Pioneer Square, which, of course, used to be a parking garage, and one of the first actions there was to paint the roof in order to show what a Pioneer Square could become if we took out that parking garage. And, you know, of course, another amazing movement for us. So, you know, painting the street really grew out of that kind of an idea. Mark Lakeman, whose dad led the process to install Pioneer Square as a kid, was watching that and was there for that painting, and I think it inspired a lot for you know, what we started to do. And when we think about intersection repair projects, which are these street paintings, really what they are is a chance to bring people together. We've seen the movement grow faster and faster. We had our first one in 1996. Today we have 40. The interesting thing is that in the last four painting seasons alone, we've put in 29. These do not cost the city any money. Miller Paint provides a 50% subsidy for the paint. City Repair provides a 25% subsidy, the nonprofit, and the community raises 25%. So we provide free professional services and a free permit, and then the neighbors initiate it, install it, maintain it themselves. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of community values that come out of it. Mostly they're about building community and building relationships. There's some misperceptions about them, about traffic. They don't affect traffic. We don't see any change in speed or volume or likelihood to stop at a stop sign. We do see a change in perception because as these places are owned by the community and they pay more attention to them, they start to notice the positive more often. They feel better about where they live. So we've also used them as tools for empowerment. So this intersection, some children in a local low-income housing development designed the street painting with an artist and carried the petition and led the process in the painting. They changed their place. It was a really powerful moment. This neighborhood is using it as a way of crime prevention through environmental design, building relationships, watching out for each other, and creating an environment where it's not comfortable to commit crime. We've also used them as an integral part of our neighborhood greenway program to build community and identity for those greenways. About a quarter of these paintings are on neighborhood greenways. And then we've also started to use them as a way to literally build community. This intersection we worked with to do a little intersection realignment, basically a curb extension with community-built planters. So instead of like an $80,000 bioswale, it was a free permit that the community was empowered to do themselves. We're here to talk about starting to move away from the intersection or to add to the intersection to allow for mid-block paintings. These are important because of some of our long blocks. A lot of times folks want to do them near commercial centers, and this is a way to allow that to happen. And sometimes it's just where people want to do it, and we don't really have a good reason not to. except we needed the policy behind it to do it. So our policy has been working well in bringing people together, and the mid-block street paintings permitting will be basically modeled on what we've been doing at intersections, significant petition process, so far, it's been going very well to use that model.
How does the petition process work, and does the petition call out the actual artwork itself, or just the right to put art in the...
Oh, it absolutely calls out the specific artwork. So what happens is the community works together on how they want to express what they love about their neighborhood. They bring it to PBOT. We review it. There's some basic rules like no speech, so no words or symbols, no traffic control devices, no copyright material. It then gets approved by the city traffic engineer. Once it's approved, we provide them with a petition that says that all adjacent properties must sign 100% plus 80% along the street for 400 feet. So it's a very high level of consensus. And when that petition is going around, they carry the approved design with them so people know what they're signing up for. Some places want to change the design, and we just ask them to go through the process again so that we know everybody's included in the decision making and there's community consensus about what it looks like. I'm just going to quickly talk about small community kiosk, which is the second item on our agenda. Think about the small library boxes you see around town. We didn't really have rules in the encroachment policy to allow for them, so when the county youth violence prevention office came wanting to build some, we weren't able to say yes because we didn't have rules for them. So now we're going to allow them in residential settings. There's very specific size limitations, location limitations. So there's rules for guidance. We're basically just saying here's how big it can be and where it can be. And you have to follow rules like no nuisances and no communication and no commercial activity, and it has to be in a residential zone and those kind of things. And then we can allow one per block face to go in if they follow the rules. So it all started really with this chalk revolution down in 9th and Sherritt, where there was just a plate with some chalk on it. Kids used the chalk, and when it went out, adults would fill it. That kind of evolved into the little free library and poetry kiosks. You can imagine it being used by Safe Routes to School as meeting spots for our walking school bus program, or games, or history kiosks, or Etch-a-Sketch stations, or anything that might make our neighborhoods more vibrant places to walk and live in. Really what these rules are accommodating is allowing neighbors to start to dream a little bit more broadly about how they want to express themselves and build community and relationships with their neighbors. So with that, I want to let Mark Lakeman say a little bit about the perspective of city repair. But you look like you had a question.
No.
Okay.
Where are you at? There we go.
Good morning, Mr. Lakeman.
Good morning. It's great to see you all. Such a pleasure to be here again. Well, I want to just kind of frame what we're talking about today in terms of the Portland tradition of innovation as we retrofit our city. And we certainly have a history of retrofit, whether it's our park system, our neighborhood association system, or our fantastic public spaces. And one of the things that we've learned, even in looking at the way that our housing is developed, is that if we don't strengthen this ethic of engagement and participation, there are so many different unwatched or unseen areas, departments or contexts in the city in which development processes will just play out without necessarily taking into account things like the fact that a house needs a porch. A house needs to talk to public space, the street, as if it's a room. And, the city won't be walkable and talkable that we'll have to drive to get everything we need. So we've been very busy retrofitting our landscape. But frankly, it's a ubiquitous set of problems. And we've inherited not only the problems of our own place, but now we find ourselves in a leadership position for the rest of the continent. And we know it. I think this is very exciting. We don't necessarily write it into our... we don't necessarily write it into our local aspirations that we will help everyone else change the world where they live, but it seems to be where we are. And I think we're also talking about that today. One of the things we're remembering is that there was a time before cars existed when the streets were a vital public space. In fact, it was only about 1920 when the federal government decided that to create the crime of jaywalking. Before that time, the streets were used for all kinds of different cultural celebrations, market activities, and even birthday parties before the rise of the car. But now as we look through the Portland landscape, for instance, here on Northeast Sandy Boulevard, this is the only bench just for sitting between the Willamette River and 360th Street, unless you're waiting for a bus. And hardly anyone ever sits there because we've basically withdrawn. We don't think of the street as a place. And really, the best places in the world that are most walkable and talkable think of their pathways as journeys, where you're actually in a place as you go from place to place. And, of course, the retrofit of Pioneer Square is very much this Portland story, and now it's one of the most spectacular places in the world. But we've also learned it's not just functional, it's also symbolic. It helps everyone in the city know that there is a place where everyone can go that they all sort of have a relationship to. And we were very consciously modeling Pioneer Square after some of the most spectacular examples in the world. But we have also learned since that move that we need an entire network, an entire fabric of place in which each neighborhood is punctuated by multiple gathering places and pathways that connect them. And this is urban design, really. This is just the basic sort of understanding of urban design. We need a place that helps people to talk. Everyone can do this, and we've learned this as we've worked in contexts across the city and now in more than 50 other cities around the continent. People are hardwired placemakers, and they can speak, and they can listen to each other, and they can work out ideas. And one of the things that every neighborhood discovers along the way is that every person in every neighborhood is surrounded by all the skills and talents of the entire society, and it's just really a question of tapping into that broad, deep base. So this is what we've been doing. Exactly the same first move as Pioneer Square, to retroactively install a sense of place in communities. And you know, we've been focusing on intersection nodes because that's where the piazza tends to happen in other countries. But now we're wanting to connect the tissue in between with these sort of, you know, fabulous installations that help people to come outside and find each other, really. This little library in Selwood turns out to have been the first little free library in the world, and now there's something more than 30,000 of them, I think. So these inspire delight, but also replication. And the results have been, frankly, tremendous. Not always occupied in this sort of fashion, like a street wedding, but these are happening more and more and definitely helping people feel like they're part of a greater whole. Kids know how to do this. We've been going around talking to the littlest children and basically challenging them with James Howard Kunstler's words. You know, can we retrofit our communities with a sense of place? Children, can you help your parents talk to each other? And little girls say things like, well, yeah, all you got to do is get a pony ride out on the streets or locate an ice cream parlor in an intersection. Maybe we'll get to that next year, but not quite yet. But this is what's been happening all around the town. And I don't need to tell you that these places are almost entirely free of vandalism because we're engaging people at the very start of the process so that we build local identity and ownership from the very beginning. And really, we're cultivating a civic sensibility in everyone that we think contributes to the great broad successes that we're enjoying as an entire city. And the thing that we're not forgetting and that is foremost in our minds is that we are the village. The village is not the stuff that we make. It's fundamentally ourselves. And I think Portland has decided to get out of the box, look at each other in the eye, challenge every assumption that we can, and re-garden this place. And it really looks like this in a community visioning workshop, this coming from Selwood, where we decide that we want to have the most walkable, talkable, lush environment that meets all of our needs and values and expresses the qualities of ourselves in our time. We've gotten this much work done in the city, and now we need to connect the tissue in between by making streets more as places and engaging more and more people in the process. So we finally come back to our home in an entirely new way, where we're not afraid to just sit in public space and where we find that we have way more friends than we ever realized was possible.
Great. Thank you very much. Great presentation. Questions?
Can you go back to the map that you just showed for a second? It's two slides ago. And this is a familiar map in other respects. City's investment in green streets as it comes to mind. So there's a lot in the inner core and then less so as you spread out. What's the biggest challenge we have to export this great idea east of 82nd?
Well, it's been happening, but slowly. I think that we could be more aggressive in our outreach, and we could contact key institutions and neighborhood associations to try to create stronger partnerships with them. Just as east of 82nd is a challenge, so is a lot of the west side, because, as you know, people lack sidewalks there. They don't tend to know a lot of the people around them, and the geography is a bit of a challenge, too.
So, Steve, I think this is a tremendous opportunity, another one, for BES and PBOC to work together. Just as you've suggested, we and have actually implemented a closer working relationship on big capital construction projects and a better coordination. You do the roads, we do the bioswales, we invest in trees, and now we're suggesting creating more community spaces. And I would look forward to working with you to think about ways that we can expand these great ideas east of 82nd Street and use existing neighborhood organizations and groups like EPAP to see if we can make some progress.
That sounds great. Look forward to that.
Thanks. We have some more people that want to testify.
We actually have at least, but just procedurally, 6:13, what we're doing is reading a proclamation. 6:14, we're actually passing an ordinance. So if anybody wants to testify on 6:14 in particular, please come up.
I have a sign-up sheet. Did you want to take it? Okay. Good. Okay. Were you on the sign-up sheet?
I don't want to.
Okay, I've got Mark Tobin, Reedy De Cruz, and Rebecca Stavenjord.
Okay. Great. Hi, I'm really glad to be here. And I'm the executive director for City Repair. And in that role, I'm continually thankful for the ways that Portland's local government has been really responsive and supportive of citizen-led placemaking.
Please give us your name for the record, too.
Yes, Mark Tobin. Yes, thank you. And the mid-block repair projects and small community kiosks will really expand our placemaking toolkit that gives us a lot of different tools. We're sort of known as the people who put in these intersection designs and paintings, but really at our heart, City Repair is about helping to empower and facilitate citizen-led transformation of spaces into places. And so it's really important for us to expand our toolkits and have lots of opportunities to do that. In City Repair's history, we've helped to put in over 380 community projects, and that's including 40 intersection repairs. And having these mid-block painting opportunities will allow us to connect a lot of those, as Mark Lakeman described, and it will help people who live in the mid-block to be more directly involved in the work that we do, and some of those people will want to initiate projects. And really have that opportunity to do that near their homes. In City Repair's history, we've helped to incubate important Portland projects like DPAVE, SHIFT, the organization that puts on the World Naked Bike Ride, Free Geek, the Community Compost Heaps, and the Little Free Libraries. And elements of our work have been replicated in over 50 cities. And we're really excited about the potential to be collaborative and, like you had mentioned, Nick, to work in more diverse areas in the city, to get east and to be collaborative with other organizations and with local government to really help the work that we've been doing connect in with larger goals that the city has for making Portland more livable. I just wanted to thank you all for having us here today.
It's you.
Hi, my name is Riddhi De Cruz, and I'm from India. And back in India, I was involved with a lot of activism and was drawn to Portland specifically because of the great story that of good governance, urban green space, and just a host of things that make the city so pleasant and livable. And I got here 5 years ago, was pursuing a graduate degree, and quickly found my niche within the fabric of citizen participation here working on diversity, equity, and inclusion, along with sustainability. All these powerful movements that are really built upon a sense of place and a sense of community empowerment. And I just wanted to frame that because I'm not from here, but I did hear about it. And it's a powerful story that's increasingly being spread across activists in India who are just facing pretty stark realities of development and other challenges, and looking for solutions that have been tried and tested in places like Portland to see what we can come up with that's culturally, you know, responsive to our own communities. So within that framework, I quickly found City Repair. I went to PSU because there's a Cobb oven right there, and I was like, what, in the middle of campus? Oh my gosh, it was such a powerful physical symbol, as Mark Lakeman was saying, that it just tends to draw more like-minded people and people with hearts to contribute into taking care and investing and maintaining public space. And what I found simultaneously astounding as well as really hopeful is the people that are drawn to this work. This year, we City Repair facilitated 41 community projects, and each one of those placemaking site leads and each community story is just so incredibly inspiring, whether it's a memorial to a neighbor that passed away that people had a connection to, whether it's Rebecca's placemaking as peacemaking initiative, whether it's disaster preparedness and community resilience where people are just connecting with each other and really finding out what assets they have that they can invest in claiming their place and knowing one another and then facing the uncertain times that we are in. And so lastly, I just want to thank you all. The mid-block repair and the community kiosks continue to expand our tools for community expression. As we try to go for the East, communities have cultural and class-based intricacies and nuances, and as we continue to respond to what it is and unlock what they have and can express, we will only see more participation, more diversity, and more just like a richness to what is expressed in terms of our public space. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Rebecca Stavenjord. I work for Multnomah County Government Relations, and I'm the East County Community Liaison for Government Relations. Up until recently, I was the project director for a grant through the local health department called STRIVE, Striving to Reduce Youth Violence Everywhere, and that's the initiative that Riddy mentioned, that placemaking is peacemaking. We have our new coordinator here, Vanessa, who's representing the county health department. And I wanted to speak just for a few minutes about the partnership that we've experienced in the city-county relationship around placemaking. So STRIVE has been a five-year investment on behalf of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to begin to look at youth violence as a health issue and building the health of our community by protecting against risk factors that would lead to violence. We've identified strategies that are focused on empowering young people and then addressing the space in which we live. And so that's how our partnership with City Repair came to be. Last year, we developed an intersection repair project in North Portland. Mr. Mayor, you were there painting with us, so thank you. And that process was amazing to bring youth and community members together. We went through the entire planning process, design, carrying the petition around to neighbors. The fact that the school and the church had existed across the street from each other and had never had a conversation and now are very close partners, and that young people who experience that space as a place of violence and some fear were able to recreate that intersection, and now there's a greater sense of ownership there. We also participated in a Little Free Library build, which Greg mentioned earlier, and instead of just one or two Little Free Libraries, we wanted to scale this up, and so recognizing the 150th anniversary of the county library system last year, the youth in the program built 150 Little Free Libraries, and we now have hosts from St. John's to Troutdale that are really recognizing this importance of building social cohesion and getting people out into their front yards, talking with their neighbors, and they're doing that through through this love of community building and supporting literacy. I wanted to speak just very briefly about the work that we're doing in East Portland and East County, and the work that I'm doing is very close to my heart because I'm actually a Lentz resident and have lived out there for 10 years, being involved in a lot of community projects. And we have Little Free Libraries that organically came to be in that neighborhood, but we will be completing another street painting at the end of this month. So we'll make sure that you all get an invitation to come out and have a more of a dialogue about what this means to youth in that neighborhood.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for being a great partner.
Thank you.
Others that want to speak on this item?
I've got three more who signed up.
Thank you both.
Chrissy Mulkey, Nancy Whitman, and Erica Dennison.
Good morning.
Morning. My name is Chrissy Mulkey, and I'm the placemaking coordinator for the Sunnyside Sunflower Piazza off of Southeast 33rd and Belmont. And just really quick, I know there's a lot of people who are here and supportive in our community of the mid-intersection repair as well as the kiosk. So I was just wondering if those people who couldn't speak could stand up really quick to show the support that we have here today.
No, that's great.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
I recently moved out of my neighborhood to Northeast 22nd and Burnside, and as a lot of us know, Portland is a really fast-growing city, and to accommodate this, we've started building a lot of high-rise apartment complexes to accommodate the increase in our population. What I see, having been a placemaking coordinator that had really got integrated into my community because I was just there as a volunteer, and then I took on the role, a leadership role, and it was so important for me, and it really connected me to my community, I see the opportunity of a mid-block intersection repair as a way to create a thread and a cohesion for our new neighbors into the neighborhood. These large apartment complexes take up an entire block, typically. And so if you could put this kind of intersection repair in the mid-block, something that these neighborhoods could see, it could be a really nice way to integrate them into our community. So I just think it's a great opportunity to accommodate this population growth and yet still keep that Portland mentality of what it is to be a part of our community. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Whitman, and I am a native Portlander. I was born here. But it's only been in the last few years I've had the privilege of being at home. I live in no man's land, East 82nd, Beach and Milton. And we have a wonderful success story in less than 2 years. We explained where we came from to other people as we were raising our money for the project. And we explained that on one side we had the monastery, and on the other side we had the hotbed of the ladies of the evening, to be polite. We also had heavy drug use and drug houses. In 2 years, we have eradicated the hotel that did the prostitution. We have taken out a drug house, and we have taken our neighborhood back. We are so thrilled, and City Repair helped us do that by awakening our need to pull together, meet our neighbor, and create a sense of place, a sense of community. We've done 2 street paintings, and even though we're a very small group, live in a very poor area, 2 things kind of stand out. One is that we have older homes, and they don't usually have garages. And I did a study one time which pointed out that most American homes that are big and fancy, their garage faces the street and shuts the house off from being neighborly. When you look at our older homes, we do have a parking issue, but we don't have any garages barricading the front of the house. So that's really kind of a neat thing. We have probably close to a dozen different ethnic types in our neighborhood, and we all get together. In the 2 years that we have developed our street painting, and by the way, we did 2 intersections our first year, and we've just recently completed repainting those 2 intersections. We've also developed our own newsletter that is totally paid for by us, called the Rocky Butte Times, and everybody loves it, keeps everybody informed. We have developed a thing in the wintertime where we have Sunday night soup dinners, and the house that hosts the neighbors provides the soup. Everybody brings their own bowl and spoon, and we do this through the winter months to keep people talking and engaged and working together. One little thing that I would point out, we just finished painting again this last weekend, and we had a fellow join us from Cambodia who worked both days very, very diligently, working hard and long hours, doing a really great job, and it was his first time in the street painting. And at the end of the second day, he came up to us, and I was working with another fellow, the paint booth, and he says, "Next year I'll bring my spray gun, and we can do this a whole lot faster." All the people standing around said, "No, no, I want to paint, I want to paint." So, you know, it does work. It really does work. And in conclusion, we also have a fellow who's totally intrinsic to working with us, and he lives in Vancouver. But he says, "I don't know my neighbors there. I love everybody in this neighborhood." So we thank you for supporting us, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much. Anyone else wants to speak on these items? Then, Commissioner, would you like to read the proclamation, and then we can take a roll call vote on the ordinance, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Whereas Portland residents have led the world with the first free community lending library, chalk sharing stand, and other small community kiosks. And whereas Portland residents have requested clear guidance about how to install small community kiosks, and the Portland Bureau of Transportation collaborated with multiple community partners to write new administrative rules for these small structures. And whereas Portland's transportation right-of-way, which includes our streets and sidewalks, is the single largest public space in the city. And whereas opportunities for community engagement in neighborhoods throughout Portland improve livability, reduce crime, improve public health, build relationships between neighbors, and deliver creative solutions to everyday problems. And whereas projects built and supported by the community reduce social isolation and foster a culture of stewardship within neighborhoods. And whereas small community kiosks can function as book and game libraries, meeting places for anything from walking school bus stops to natural disaster organizing, and displays for art, poetry, and history plaques, and community kiosks can be used to demonstrate the efficacy of small-scale green building technology. And whereas the small community kiosk administrative rule provides clear guidance about placement, allowed zoning, and physical scale of such structures. Whereas the City of Portland will include the small community kiosk administrative rule in the encroachments on the right-of-way administrative rule, now therefore I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim June 17, 2015 to be Small Community Kiosk Day in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day.
You're here. Thank you. Well, thanks very much. If there's no further council discussion, we can take a roll call vote on 614, please.
Fish.
Commissioner Novick, thank you for bringing this forward. We're really talking about building community this morning, and we've been highlighting how small investments can have a big difference. And I think all of us know that when you put a community garden or a kiosk, you plant a tree, you paint an intersection, it builds community and it brings people together. And it's what makes Portland a very special place to live. And I'm very pleased today to support this initiative. Bye.
Novick.
Thanks to everybody who's testified today and everybody who's part of the street painting movement and the small community kiosk movement, whether you could be here today or not. And I also just wanted to say that it's always a delight to work with Greg Raisman on anything. Aye.
Fritz.
Yes, I second that commendation of Greg Raisman's. It's also always a delight to listen to Mark Lakeman talking about what our community and communities and how to build community. And thank you for your leadership over many, many years. It strikes me that both the Portland Made presentation that we had previously and this one, this is really Portland. This is Portlandia says people come here to retire. No, people come here and stay here to work really, really hard and intentionally to better our neighborhoods, to get to know each other and to figure out ways to connect. And that's very much part of what makes us special. Particularly appreciated Mr. Cruz talking about coming from India and City Repair's attention to cultural specificity and East of 82nd and making sure that everybody is welcomed and part of this great movement that we are co-creating. It's important that we don't leave anybody behind and that we find those who have previously been left behind and make sure that they feel welcomed and included and take leadership roles. So thank you very much, everybody who took the time to attend this presentation. Thank you all that not everybody had to say their 3 minutes, because otherwise I think we could be here all day. And so that was very, very helpful. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I love the stories that this movement generates. Nancy, I loved your story about you and your neighbors and serving soup. Rebecca reminded me of the story of being out there on one of those projects, and I'd already met a young woman named Brenda Mazza because she was an advocate for buying a really bad land use in her neighborhood and converting it to something better. And then I got to paint with her that afternoon for a while and got to know her better. And then Commissioner Fritz and I saw her this weekend at Matt Dishman Community Center because she now works there. And this is what happens is we make a big and sometimes scarily growing city a small town again. That's how we get to be a community, and we all generate these stories from this work that we do together. So thank you, Commissioner, for bringing this forward. I think it's another case of city government having the good sense to recognize a great movement and supporting it and partnering it like we've done in so many other ways. The other story that I'll tell is that when Mark Lakeman first came to the city with this crazy idea almost 20 years ago, there were some, I joked later that it was a good thing that the ninth floor of the Portland building didn't have openable windows, because of some of our crusty old engineers would have probably jumped out if they could have gotten out. Some of those so-called crusty old engineers like Vic Rhodes and Don Gardner eventually became big believers in this movement and supporters of it. And Greg, you're neither crusty nor old, but I love the fact that our professionals in the Bureau of Transportation are active partners with this rather than simply permitters or, worse, skeptical about it because it's not in the manual. So in one more great and wonderful way, Portland's a little weird, and now that's normal. Thank you very much. Bye. Great work. Please continue. Thank you.